traveling through God's Word together. We're going through the book of Acts together, that fifth book of our New Testament. So turn to the book of Acts. Turn to chapter 20 this morning. We're going to go back to chapter 20, so we invite you to turn there. And we're going to begin by looking at Acts 20. We're going to jump in at verse 24. Acts 20, verse 24. In Acts 20:24, Paul declares, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Pastor, that's what you taught on last week. Some of you might be sitting here, if you're here last week, saying, "Oh man, this is so embarrassing." I mean, like, the pastor is getting really forgetful. Psst, pastor, you got last week's notes or something. You've already taught on this. Well, if you're sitting there saying that, you're right. We did look at this verse last week. But it's on my heart to return to it again this morning. And I believe for good purpose. If you weren't here, let me explain. Last week, we tackled the last part of verse 24. The part where it says, "And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And last week together, we took some time and just soaked in the grace of God. That Paul declared the ministry that he was given was to testify to just that. And later on, he commends the people to the grace of God. That God's unmerited favor extended, poured out, to us, through the work of the cross and all. And so we soaked in that last week, and there was good stuff, no doubt about it. It all starts there. It all originates with God's love, God's grace for us. And the encouragement is, be a receiver. Be a receiver. But I'm drawn back to consider something else in this verse that we only lightly touched on it last time. And so whether you're here or not, last time, this is brand new, fresh. It's not a rerun for all of us. But I go back to, because it's such a key for our lives. And I pray the Lord will minister that to us all this morning. What I want to focus on is the first part where he says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy." It's my calling and privilege this morning to simply remind us or help us, maybe some for the first time, understand a really important truth, and that is this, that all believers are indeed in a race. And my goal is this, that this morning would help all of us run that race and finish that race with joy. I've called our time together this morning, finishing our race with joy. Let's pray. Father, there's something you want to do this morning. We know you've gathered us here for a purpose, not just to head consider something, but to heart receive. And so, Lord, help us, Lord. Keep away the distractions. And in this time, in this place, help us to let you minister and speak and challenge, comfort, whatever needs to be. But, Lord, have your way in this time, we ask. Lord, this whole idea of running this race of life and how you'd have us to and what the design is, so crucial. So help us, Lord. Help us lay hold of it, that we might go out of here and live it to your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remember the context of the passage that we're looking at. For 3 years, Paul had been living there with these believers in a city called Ephesus. But after ministering for those 3 years, he then leaves there to go around the region and kind of strengthen the other churches. Then he reaches the point where he says, "You know what, I want to get back to Jerusalem. I want to get back to Jerusalem time for the Feast of Pentecost." So he's heading back, but he wants to talk to these elders at Ephesus one more time. But instead of going to the city, he sends messages there and says, "Hey, you come down and meet me. So on the way through, I can just meet with you." So what we have here is what's known as that farewell address to the Ephesian elders. It's a farewell address because he tells them in this address, "You won't see my face again. This is it. You will never see me on this earth again." Well, as we looked at last week, but I want to remind you, think of what that means. This is a message, and indeed it reveals Paul's pastor's heart. It's a message full of loving concern. He's not defending doctrine or something here. He's sharing his heart with them. He wants to leave with them that which is most important. Last week we saw it involved pointing them to the grace of God. This week we see it also involves something else very important. Paul often likens our lives to a race. A number of times he used the analogy of a race to talk about these lives of ours. One example would be this. Listen to him here in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Well, there's much there in that verse. I'm just using it as one example of Paul pointing out that we all have a race to run. We're all in this race. Again, and Paul uses the idea of a race. When he says a race, he's talking about the plan, if you will, that God has for our lives. He's talking about the pathway we're called to walk, what we're to be about. And so that's what he means by a race. It's the life that God has for us. You'll notice in our text this morning, as he looks ahead on his life, as he goes about doing these things God's called him to do, that he does say that he wants, he says, that I may finish my race with joy. Later on, as Paul nears the end of his life, as he gets near the end of his life, he's writing in the book of 2 Timothy. In that letter, he says he knows that his life is about done. God's about to call him home. He knows that. And in that letter, he says this, I have fought the good fight. I have, and I highlighted it, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In our letter, he's kind of looking ahead. Oh, that I may finish this race with joy. Later on, he's able to look back and say, I have finished it. I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished the race. In essence, what's he saying? Mission accomplished. Through his surrender and yielding to the Lord, to just being about what God would have him to be about, he did have a well-lived life. He's able to say, I have done that. The challenge before us this morning is this. How will we have run the race? You know, it's a good thing to step aside from how busy we are and all the things that tug on us and demand our attention and all the things that want to be in the driver's seat of our life, so to speak. All the things that are yelling out, no, run for this reason, live for this, be about me. It's good to stop and say, wait a minute, what am I really running for? Who am I running for? What am I about? Am I running this race? How am I running it? Who am I running it for? Am I running it with joy? Or is that a foreign word for too many of us? Run your race with joy is the calling. So this morning, let's consider how you're running the race and how you're going to finish the race. This last week, I think I mentioned last Sunday that a memorial service was going to be held this last week. And Kathy and I and Gia too, we had the privilege of going up and going to memorial service. And I think it was the best memorial service I've been to, I think. And I say that because this. It was able to be such a time of celebration because of the way that Steve, the one we were there to remember his life and celebrate and all, because of the way Steve ran and how he finished his race, it indeed was able to be a celebration of a life well lived. And so it was a really touching and awesome evening, any time of remembrance and all. But I say this, I want to be able to have the same said of each one of us. That we ran well, that we finished well, that we ran with joy. In Hebrews 12:1, we read this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those who've gone before us, those who were believers before us, because of that, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's much in that verse, but I just put it up this morning to highlight a few points for us. First of all, how are we to run this race? it's pointed out we need to lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Now, it's true, if you're a Marine, you like to strap on about 60 pounds and run around. I know that. But for most of us, if you go out to jog around the neighborhood, you probably don't put on this big old heavy backpack and all these big combat boots. If you go to run, you put aside the weight. Runners in the Olympics, they put aside the weights. Put aside the things of this life that encumber us and all. So the first thing we see here in running this race that we're reminded of is that we're to keep a light touch on the things of this world. To not get encumbered by them. Not get weighted down by them. Not let those things trip us up, as they tend to do. And what manner are we to run it? With endurance. You run the race, as pointed out, with endurance. What's that mean? It points out that this life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. You've got to keep that in mind. Too many people treat life like a sprint. You get excited about the Lord. You hear a message like this morning, maybe. Oh, yeah. And we get into it. And we see people come to the Lord. They go out and they go off like fireworks. Boom. Then they're burnt out in 2 weeks. Because they were emotionally driven. It wasn't rooted in He who gives the strength to run the race. So be careful. We run with endurance, with patience, understanding that it's for the long haul. It's to run our whole lives in a certain way. But I particularly put up this verse for us to see something. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We each have our own race to run. God sets before each of us our race, the course we're to run in this life. So make sure we see that and know that every Christian has a race to run. You have a calling. You have a purpose. You have giftings. Run in them, it says. And we're talking about the need to do that and how to do that. But make sure we understand that. We each have our own race to run. Since moving up here on the hill from down on the valley floor there, I've often noticed driving over here to work or I'm over here to church or coming in, or maybe I'm out going to lunch or something. Well, I noticed the cross-country team from Grossmont. Grossmont High School is right across the valley here. At night, you can see the stadium with the lights and all. You hear the band over there practicing and everything. Well, during the day, you can see what I assume to be their cross-country team. I don't think it's kids ditching class, but they are running pretty good. But it has the look of their cross-country team. And so you see them coming down, and they're running all the way down here, and running there, and running all around. And I look at them, and I go, maybe once, but not now. I couldn't do that now. They'd leave me within a few houses. And they're running for the long haul. What I'm saying is this. We can sometimes look at people running their race and get discouraged. We look at how well some people are running their race. Wow, look at the race they're running. Look how well they're doing in the Lord. Look how their life is going, their family's going, their circumstances. Oh, we look at their race and we look at our lives and go, man. And we can get discouraged about it. And sometimes we can almost say, I want that one. But know this, you're not called to run the other person's race. We all have a race set before us. Seek and run in the race God has for you. And don't worry about the other person's race. Our need is to run our race with joy. Well, I was reading about, maybe some of you remember, there was a movie called Chariots of Fire. Eric Lytle was went on to be a missionary. But the movie's about Eric, this gentleman, who he ran in the Olympic Games. He was a long-distance runner in the Olympics. Well, he was having a conversation with a sister. She didn't understand his love of running and his interest in running in the Olympic Games. I mean, after all, he was called to be a missionary. What are you doing running in the Olympic Games? And he answered his sister this way, "All I know is that God has made me fast, and I feel His pleasure when I run." All I know is this, God has made me with a gifting to run, and I enjoy running, and I sense that He enjoys it too. I sense His pleasure when I run. Have you felt His pleasure as you run? Has it been a while since you felt His pleasure? If you are sensing God's pleasure as you run the course He has for you, awesome. But if you've lost that, having gained it, maybe veered off the track or something, may this morning be a fresh start. May it be a time we all get back on track if we've gotten off. He said, I can just sense God's pleasure. Because see, spiritually speaking, again, every believer has been given a race to run by God. And the question this morning is simply that. How's the race going? And I want this time to encourage each of us. And challenge if need be, but if from God, that's good. To encourage us in this race. But let me ask you, how is your race going? Your personal course God has set before you. Because we live in a community where a certain amount of people want to stay healthy, we see people jogging around the neighborhoods or in various settings, don't we? And you see different kinds of people out jogging. By that I mean different ways they run. There's the person out running who would be much like me if I did that. And that is, you can tell the guy is in agony. The poor guy. You know, he's like, okay, I'm going to get in shape. But he's sweating. He's ready to die. Maybe some of us are like that, just trudging along in agony. Others, we see them out there, and I give people credit, they're going for it, but the reality is they're doing a little better, but not making a lot of headway, per se, but they're still trying. They're trying hard, maybe not there yet, but trying. We see some progress. But then, we see those who, they love running. You know the guy, right? Lightweight jogging shoes. He's got on the whole outfit, you know, and he's just flying down there. And on your way back from the store, you see him, and he's still just flying down the street, and you're going, man, that guy loves running. There's some in here that I know love running. And he ran in marathons and all kinds of things. And that's awesome. I'm just pointing out there's different styles of running. The challenge to us is, where are we at now? Which one would describe us? The Lord would have us run with a sense of joy, running for His pleasure and that well-lived life that He would have for us. He wants us to run, and He wants us to finish with joy. Now, having said all that, I want us to go to our focus verse. Look at verse 24 now, chapter 20. We're going to dissect this and see what the Lord have for us to encourage us and challenge us in running the race. In the middle of verse 24, Paul makes this statement. He says, so that I may finish my race with joy. Notice the word so that. That means he just said something right before that that needs to be taken care of, needs to be going on. If he's to run the race that he's called to race and finish it with joy, there's some things he needs to take care of, be sure of, tend to. That's what the so that is. It's a connecting phrase between them. What are they? He refers to two areas here. Two things we must keep a light touch on so that we might also run the race well. What are they? But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Two things. There are these things that he talks about. And secondly, there's how we see this life. Let's look at them each. First of all, but none of these things move me, he says. What are these things? He's saying there's some things going on, but these things don't move me. What are these things? Look at the previous verses. Look at verses 22 and 23. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. And we know indeed that's what happens to him. He gets there, he's taken captive, and God works in and uses all that. But in general, notice what he says here. Not knowing the things that will happen to me, except I do know, I'm told there's going to be some trials, there's going to be some real persecution coming up, but in general, he doesn't know the future. He refers here to this future that's unknown. In short, these things are his circumstances. I don't let my circumstances set the pace. I'm not going to let my circumstances determine my course, my race. These things are not going to move me off the calling, off the race. These things. What are these things in our lives that try to move us off the race, trip us up in our race, get us distracted? What are these things that you might be facing that are trying to do that in your race? Maybe more to the point, are they winning? Have they distracted? Think about what are some things. Just like Paul, first of all, there could be the unknown in our lives. That unknown future, it can try to move us off of our calling, off of our purpose. Through fear and all, it can get us to begin to wonder, maybe I shouldn't run it. And all those things that begin to cross our mind and all. There is that unknown. Oh man, how the unknown can try to move us. It can move us to doubt and try to move us to question God's goodness. If you love me, why don't you tell me the future? Why can't it go like I want it to go? All these things. It can move us to sacrifice our peace. We get so afraid of the unknown out there. What's going to happen? How's it going to go? How will it turn out? And you know what? The future is unknown, temporarily. Because we do know the future, ultimately, don't we? We do know where we're headed. If you're a believer in Christ, you do know you're heaven bound. Your destiny's been changed. We do know where home is. We do know we're just passing through, but we know where home is. What's unknown is the in-between part. Now, should I run my race keeping my eyes on the unknown in-between? Or on the known certainty of what's ahead? Paul's saying, run, keep your eyes on what you do know. You do know the future. Let that set the pace for this unknown in-between part. Don't let these circumstances set the pace. Let the Lord set the pace in this whole thing. Maybe these things of our current situations, circumstances, maybe it's things like our job or lack thereof, needing employment, that can try to move us. Question, doubt God's race for us. Are you sure, Lord? Is this really the path? These things of our finances, our health issues, these things of our relationships, how our marriage is going, maybe some strain in our extended relationships or with friends or something. Sometimes the lack of relationship, loneliness, can really try to move us off the race. Paul doesn't say that those things aren't important. He acknowledges. He knows very well. He's talked about that fact before. He doesn't say that the things we go through don't impact us. Up in verse 19, he talked about the tears and the trials that he himself had experienced. And he was very open with them. And we see in his writings, he often talked about all the things he went through, how it impacted him. Now, he's not saying we don't act like those things aren't there. But the key is to not let them move us off our foundation. To not let them get us buy into quitting the race. Changing the race somehow. Not running the race. Paul says, those things are tough we go through, but they're not going to get me moved off of the Lord and off what He has for me. We can't give those things the power. We can't give the unknown, we can't give our circumstances the power to determine our race. Don't let them move us. Don't let them cause us to change directions in the race when the Lord has marked the path a certain way. Don't let these things cause us to slow down or even stop in the race. And don't seek the other guy's lane. So often the other guy's lane looks so much better. Oh, if I just had his, and then we put in his circumstances, his job, his family, oh, I could run so much better. It's not true. Trust God. He knows what He's doing when He's giving you your race. And particularly on my heart this morning is, don't you ever quit the race. Don't ever just say, I'm done. I'm sitting down. I'm not doing it. It's too hard. That tells me you're doing it on your own. May you hear from what we're about to say and help you get back up. But now notice the second point. Not only was he not going to let those things he was going through and faced move him, but the second thing he says, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Listen to these words of Jesus. It's in Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. Well-known verses. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That verse 24, see, you can hear that like the Lord's being, you better do this and you got to do it and all. But the next verse helps us understand he's pointing to how we find life. You want to have life? Then follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Because whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, we hear something like that, and our natural senses just go, what? It doesn't compute. Wait a minute, what? No, the world says I need to take care of myself. Look out for number one. I need to have all these things to find myself. I need experiences. I need to go out and do this and have that happen. I need to find myself. And our creator, our maker says, you do that and you'll lose yourself. But lose yourself for me and you'll find yourself. You'll find what you're really here for. Back in fellowship with him, connected to him, with the gap the city created, spanned and dealt with and handled, you're back in fellowship, you begin to discover his purpose. We begin to discover his plan. We discover life. See, I understand there's a salvation aspect to that statement, but I think it's for all of life, for every day. If I'm about me, I'll lose. But every day, if I lose my life for him, I find it. I find real meaning and purpose for my life, for my day. I find the race that he has designed for me. And it's the best place to be, of course. How could Paul count his life not dear to himself? Pastor Chuck Smith says this, quote, why is it that we count our lives dear? Because we have no concept of how wonderful heaven is. He, speaking about Paul, had been caught up into heaven. He had a preview of what awaits the child of God at death. He said it was so glorious that there were no words in the human vocabulary to describe it. And to try to do so would be a crime, because anything you might try to describe is so much less than it actually is. End quote. Pastor Chuck's just saying we get our eyes on the temporal instead of the eternal. We don't really understand how awesome heaven's going to be, and we start trying to hold on to this. And it's true, you know it, we do count this life so dear. And everything around us would seem to tell us that. We love this life. Who's the first person you check out when someone shows you a group photo? You know, because we like us. We like us a lot. And you get up in the morning, what do you do? Pretty soon, you're wandering in the mirror. Now, some of us, that's not a good experience. But you work on it. You work on it, huh? We love this life. And the world would tell you, hang on to this life and grab on. But the Lord's saying, that's shifting sand. That's going to lose it in the long. You're not going to like what you find. That's not the answer. Paul later on, in Galatians 2:20, Paul writes this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is pointing out that when you receive Christ as Savior, there's a transaction that takes place. As you look at, and it talks about in verse 28 here, we've been purchased with the very blood of God, and we become his. And in a very real way, the life we live now is him living in us, Paul's pointing out. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God. But I brought up this verse to point out one particular thing here. How could Paul count his life not dear to himself? Because of the who. You see, it wasn't just about what he was getting or Oh, gee, I've got this purpose. I've got to... No, it's who he belonged to now. Who was living in him. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul rested on the who. And that who is ours also. More than enough purpose for living. More than enough reason to run the race on. And to have a well-lived life to be about him. What the world offers is a lie. It's a ripoff. It won't, in the end, it will not be a race well run. You won't be able to finish with joy. But a life lived on him and under him and about him will be just that. And we can finish our race with joy. We read earlier in Hebrews 12:1 these verses. Let me go back to them. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That could give us a sense of pull up your bootstraps and do it. Come on, get out there and run your race. You have the strength. You have the potential. You can do it. You. But did you notice it's not a period? It's a comma. Because it doesn't end there. The verse, that the numbered verse but might end there, but the sentence doesn't. The point doesn't. For it goes on to declare what? How to run this race? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's a life well lived? What's a life well run? What's a life that will finish well with joy? A life that's run looking unto Jesus, the author, the source, the beginner, if you will, the one who started it, called you, saved you, and the finisher. He's run it before, and he's running it with us, and he empowers us, he strengthens us. He has begun a good work, and he will complete the good work, Paul says in Philippians. It's God. It's who we belong to, who we look to, who we're running the race unto. He is the source. This isn't a call to go out there and just, okay, do it yourself. It's, you want to have a well-lived life? Then who are you about? What's your motivation each day as you get up? Who really governs our decisions? See, that's who we want to hear well done from. And we're going to hear it as we look to him for it. As we let him be the source, the author and the finisher of it all. There's a little statement, a slogan that has been around for a long time. And maybe if you've heard it, you've gotten used to it even. Unfortunately, that's what happens when we're used to something, you hear it a lot. But it really captures a good thing for us to remember. And it goes like this. One life to live will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. And the scripture tells us, as we do all, he says, do all unto the Lord. Do what you do unto the Lord. What you do, that part of your race is that job on the construction site. It is that place at school. It is fixing that dinner. That's part of the privilege and calling. That's part of our race. But the Lord says, do it for the right motivation. Do it at his authoring and perfecting and empowering. The Bible says, do all unto the Lord. And as I do that, that's when we can hear well done. That's the life well lived. One life to live will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. How you doing in the race? Before Pastor Chuck went home to be with the Lord, he was asked to get some advice for pastors. I remember watching the video. And he gave this advice, but it's not just for pastors. This is good advice for all of us. He was asked, what advice can you leave us with? It's much like maybe Paul wanting to leave his counsel with the Ephesian elders. And they asked Pastor Chuck, what advice? Now the man has years of experience, years of ministry. He had taught everywhere in so many places, been using so many things. And man, you just want to go, okay, here it comes. Oh, I'm going to record. This is going to be good stuff, important stuff. Better write this down. You know what? You'll be able to remember it. He simply looked up and he said, stay the course. And that was it. Just stay the course. Don't let anything move you. Don't quit. Don't jump lanes. Don't sit around wishing you had the other guy's race. Just stay the course. Run the race God has given you. And trust He knows exactly what He's doing and how to do it. And in that place of the who will come the joy. To run and finish with joy. Believer, don't you ever quit the race. And if you have, in a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get back up. If you veered off track, if anything's happened like that, we're going to give you that opportunity. Interesting thing in running this race, in the race of life, we don't know when we're going to hit the finish line, do we? Now, some of us might know better than others that the finish line is getting closer. Sometimes because of a doctor's report or something, we have an idea, finish line is getting up closer here. But typically, we never know even when that exactly is going to be. And for most of us, we don't know. Indeed, there's a thing called the rapture coming, when all believers will be caught out of here like this, boom. And we don't know when that's going to be, for sure. We don't know. So what's the point? Now, if I'm forced to run my race that I might finish my race with joy, but I don't know when the finish is going to be, that means that means I better be running each day with joy. See, it's not like, well, I'll just go ahead and do my own thing, and then right at the end, I'm going to start running with joy. No, because we don't know when the finish line is. How are you going to finish with joy? By running every day with joy. By looking up. By leaning on the who. By letting Him set the pace. And running it with His enabling, His empowering, and that surrendered life. I'm going to add this. I didn't say it first service, but I look over and I see some of our youth. And maybe this will speak to some of you too. Give me 1 minute in this. From a very young age, I remember hearing, in my adult years, but younger, many moons ago, I remember hearing messages like this. And then when you're young, you sit there and go, well, I got a lot I want to do. This sounds like, come on, I got marriage ahead of me, and I want kids, and I want a career, and wait a minute, that I might finish any day and all. And let me share this. It's been my experience, now that a few years are in the rearview mirror, life will always have something we're looking forward to. And that's part of life. And that's fine. But know this. Whenever the finish line comes and we're home, you won't regret. You won't regret. What He has will be so much better than what we thought we had planned for ourselves. And trust Him now. He knows exactly what our lives should contain, what we need. And so whatever we're about, yield it to Him. And if He gives you something in life, it's a blessing. Enjoy it. That's fine. But make sure we're doing it all for Him and unto Him. Run that race unto Him. And trust Him for whatever He brings or doesn't bring in that. He's got the best race for you. And can I add this? We do not run the race in order to get saved. You might hear this today if you're visiting and never received Christ as Savior. That you're hearing, hey, run your race and be perfect and do everything just right, and at the end you can go to heaven. No, this isn't about running a race to be saved. This is about those who are saved, how their life is to be run. In response to Him, He saved you to bring you back into fellowship, not to put us on the shelf, but to now go out and run the race, discover and walk in the purposes He has for us. Don't come short of that. That's all He's calling. Don't come short of it. Run that race for Him. See, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. You must receive that work of the cross to be saved. If you've never done that, as you wrap it up, go back in the corner over here. There'll be prayer partners. They'd love to talk to you about it and pray with you about it. Only in Jesus are sins forgiven. Only in Jesus do we have the assurance of heaven. That's not what we're talking about here. This is about how the believer is to run, in other words, live their life. In spite of all we face, in spite of the unknown future, in spite of the present trials, we don't have to let these things move us. We don't have to hold on to our lives in fear. I can invite the worship team up to help us now respond to what we've heard. As the team comes up, I mentioned that we'd be doing this, and I want to offer it to you. We're going to spend some time worshiping the Lord. Respond to the Lord in song. If you're here this morning, you belong to the Lord, but truth be told, that you'd have to confess that you've been letting some of these things move you. They've gotten attention in your life they shouldn't have gotten. They've caused you to veer off the race, so to speak, or to slow down on the race, or maybe just sat down. You're sitting there on the racetrack, just sit down on the race course. This morning, the Lord in love would say, come on, let's get back up. Let's get back on course. Let's get to going again. Let's quit giving these things that power anymore. I offer you some altar time. No one's going to bug you or ask you what it's about. But I'm going to offer to you during this time that if you need to, come up to the altar up here and do business with God and say, Lord, I'm going to give you these things that have been moving me. I want to get back to that not moving off the race position again. And come up and just recommit to Him the race. And whatever it might mean to you, come up during this time and do that. No one's going to bug you, but for some, it's time to get back in the race, period. Time to trust the Lord for all that's going on and to see it the way He sees it. Come up and do that if you need to. Maybe you've been counting your life dear to yourself instead of surrendering your life to Him. If you have, if you've been doing it long, you found out it doesn't work. You find your life by losing it. Maybe you need to lose your life again. Maybe you need to come up front and say, Lord, I want to resurrender. I want to not receive the Lord again. You've done that. That's settled. But just say, Lord, I've let my life become too dear. I need to make You dear again, Lord, and not myself like I have been. Come up and do that. Basically, I'm saying it's a time to put your race back into His hands. Then come up and do it. Time to quit coveting the other guy's lane and run your own with joy. Come and commit to that. Whatever it might mean to you, come to the altar. Give your struggle to Him. Renew your trust in Him so that you may run your race and finish your race with joy. Father, there's something you want to do. Somebody in your love, you're trying to speak to them about it's time to get back up again and get in the race. Somebody else, Lord, they veered off. It's time to get back in the race You've called them to. Lord, maybe they've been trying to run somebody else's. Help them get back to running in what You have for them. Someone's been trying to run it in their own strength instead of looking unto You. Help them today to get back to looking unto You, the author and the finisher of it all. Lord, some of us have been running, but it's been without joy. Help us have that joy once again, that sense of running a race that gives You pleasure. Lord, whatever You need to do, we pray You'll do it. Help us be receivers of that work now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm much blessed by those who come down front, and you're welcome, and we invite you to continue to stay and do business with God. And I say this because I can, in a sense, say this as pastor and also because of my gender. I am blessed by those who come down front, but if you notice, it's all women. Men, are all of us really right on track? Are we running? I know, guys, that you struggle with providing in this race and work and the trials and the things that pull at you and how we can get off this race. And it become kind of like, you know what, Pastor, I'm just too frazzled, I've got to get it settled. It's reversed. You don't get it settled, then come back and do this. You do this first and let Him straighten it out. So men, don't do anything out of emotions or because I'm twisting an arm. But I ask you guys, be open to God saying, hey, I want to speak to you guys too. Ladies, you're included, but guys, specifically, guys, are you running the race God would have in the way He wants you to have it? Is there something He's saying right now that's a weight you need to lay aside? Is there something encumbered you? I share this in love, guys. I know many of you guys, and you're a blessing to me, and I see God working in your life, but I'm with you right there. We all need to make sure, examine ourselves. Are we running the race God called us to in the way He'd have us to? Are we looking to ourselves instead of Him? Are we carrying a load He never designed to? Do you need to cast your cares on Him in this race? Man, let Him minister to you and encourage you. And guys, if you've gotten off the course, He loves you, And he wants to help you be that man and husband and father he wants you to be. And so I'm inviting both genders. If you need to, let this be the time. You say, Lord, I give you the race once again. Get me back on track once again. Whatever it means to any of us. Let's just keep responding, though. And just gotten back up again. And just for whatever it might represent, whatever you've done this morning, thank you that you love us that much. To have a race, to have a plan, to have the strength, to have the motivation, the beginning, the ending, the author, the finisher, all of it in you. Thank you. And Lord, perhaps there's still yet some business you want to transact, so to speak, Lord. Maybe it'll be this afternoon. Maybe in the coming day soon. Have your way, Lord. But thank you that you help us get up and get back and you help us to not let those things move us. There's a place where we don't have to be moved. Thank you that we don't have to count this life so dear. We don't have to hang on so tightly because you hang on to us. Just saying, Lord, thank you for what you've done, what you are doing, and what you're going to be doing. Bottom line, Lord, as we run this race, help us to finish it with joy and help us to run it and finish it in a way that gives you glory. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, may he perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And let me add this. May the joy of the Lord fill you as you run your race every day. Amen. Let's close in song together.